This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
يا ان شاء الله بسم الله اللهم صل وسلم على نبينا محمد اللهم الله يسلم you're getting influenced by him. إن شاء الله. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان. As soon as this brothers is done, we'll move them here. You want to move over? You guys want to move over? So we're going to open that. Move that. No, they will. They'll do it. Okay. Bismillah. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وبعد. Welcome to those new faces that are here. Some of, you know, a few of the faces I see are new faces over here. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you for coming. Some of them are really old faces. They've been here before the masjid. They're still here. May Allah bless you. Just keep you here, inshallah. Right? Just a quick recap as to our general etiquettes or adab of the majlis. So we had mentioned this before. We appreciate every single person that is bringing their kids. MashaAllah, we want this to be a family event. We also want to, you, if you have seniors or elders in your home, bring them because they'll be everything for everyone in this halaqa. The only thing we request or ask is if you have brought your child that they're sitting next to you, unless they are capable of sitting quietly wherever they are. And if they happen to cry in the middle of the halaqa, there's absolutely no problem if you decide, and I would recommend that you pick them up, take them outside, calm them down, and bring them back. This is an entire process of tarbiyah. That's number one. Number two, for all the young people, most of the young sisters, that are all lined up on the wall as if there's some issues with your backs, that's not from the adab of a majlis. This includes my daughter in there too. Anyways, so the adab of the majlis is you sit and you get off the... If you have to sit, and if you're a young person and you have a back problem, no problem. We'll accept you. But all the other younger sisters, you should be sitting straight with all the empty spots in the front here. Move up. Let's go. Let's go. Just basic etiquettes. Inshallah. Today we're going to end the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam. I hope that I get to the end of it. And if towards the end, if we have some time left over, then we will also begin the story of Adam and we'll set the preamble. I don't think we will have time. But in any case, if there is some time left, then we'll do that. As for the sisters, if we can ask them to move up, there are three rows in the front here that are behind the partition. You can still fill them up because as the sisters walk in at the back, they don't crowd. And the same thing with the brothers. Oh, we have space in the brothers. We're fine. Okay. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وإذ قال إبراهيم رب أرني كيف تحيي الموتى قال أولم تؤمن قال بلى ولكن ليطمئن قلبي قال فخذ أربعة من الطير فصرهن إليك ثم اجعل على كل جبل منهن جزءا ثم ادعهن يأتينك سعيا واعلم أن الله عزيز حكيم. So at this marhala or this stage of Ibrahim alayhi salam, we had talked about the entire story last week, and we had mentioned, or not last week, it's been 2 weeks before that. So we had mentioned about Ibrahim alayhi salam that in his state, this is the stage of Ibrahim alayhi salam where, you know, he has now moved. And he is with Sarah, and the angels come. And they said, we have been sent to Qawm Lut. And he exclaims, Inna fihim Luta, there's Lut, how are you going to destroy? I mean, there's a salih person in there, right? And the entire discussion we had about Ibrahim alayhi salam being hospitable to his guests, and then them giving the good news of Ishaq alayhi salam. Okay? وَبَشَّرْنَاهُ بِإِسْحَاقِ We gave him the glad tidings of Ishaq alayhi salam. Then, Ibrahim alayhi salam was commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to take Hajar and Ismail because Sarah could not live with them. They were having some disputes. And they said, take Hajar and Ismail and go to Makkah. Go to Makkah. So he goes to Makkah, and we've already covered the entire story of Ismail alayhi salam during the Hajj period. We brought that scene earlier so we can understand that. Now he's on his way back. And on his way back, he has these questions. And there's absolutely nothing wrong in asking questions in Islam. Rather, it is recommended. If you happen to have certain type of questions about Islam, things are not making sense, you should ask. You should ask. You should not say, oh, I'll just shove it underneath the rug and no problem. Because what happens is when you do that, the minute you have a calamity in life, the minute you lose your job, you have a financial constraint, you lose someone, what happens? The first thing we say is, itni ibadat kariti, we worshipped you so much, oh Allah, this is the reward. You're not complaining to Allah. What there is there subtle issues that you haven't rectified with Allah. There are things that are bothering you. We had just placed them underneath our rug and said, Khali walli. It's okay. Right? So these, Khali walli. Khali walli. Leave it. It's okay. Don't worry about it. But then you have to worry about it when the matters become difficult for you. When the emotional storm takes place, you're riled up. All of those things that you said, Khali walli, and you put them under the rug, they come out. So in this particular case, Ibrahim alayhi salam, he's going and he asks this question. إِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ, Ibrahim alayhi salam, he asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rabbi, O my Rabb, أَرِنِي كَيْفَ تُحْيِي الْمَوْتَى, show me how you are going to resurrect the dead from, how are you going to resurrect تُحْيِي الْمَوْتَى, something that is dead, how are they going to get back life? How are you going to resurrect them? In the question, I want you to ponder about this, on this. What is he affirming subtly in the question? Huh? Yeah. So he has an affirmation that, oh Allah, I have no doubt about the fact, أَتُحْيِي الْمَوْتَى, are you going to be able to resurrect a dead from life? What I just want to know is, how is that process going to take place? It's not about the principle of resurrection, but rather the fundamentals of how this resurrection is going to take place. Okay? He wants to see it. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَوَلَمْ تُؤْمِنْ, he already has iman, but he says, yes, no, I have iman, O Allah. وَلَكِنْ لِيَطْمَئِنَّ قَلْبِي, I just want contentment. I believe in this. I have a fundamental belief that Allah is going to be able to resurrect every single one of us. But I just want a full contentment in my heart. Now let's say, most of you have seen, like if I'm in the musalla and we have a dars, I can't lift the chair alone, right? I try and then sometimes you helped last time or somebody helps. So for example, I want to lift a chair. I have a weakness in me lifting that chair. So somebody else helps me to lift that chair. So now that person has helped me with the power that he has for the chair and the need that I have with the chair. Similarly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the case of Ibrahim alayhi salam, he could have said, cut these birds into two pieces and watch how I will resurrect them. The power is with me. But the epitome of power is you're able to أنتنقل القوة من الأصل إلى الآخر. The source of this power of resurrection is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But how do we know that He is an absolute power and He is the controller of this? That He is able to give this power to somebody else. So he gave it to Ibrahim alayhi salam. He didn't say, I will resurrect the birds. So he let him have the entire thing. He said, go and find some birds. فَسُرْهُنَّ إِلَيْكَ, make sure you bring them close to you. They get accustomed to you. They become acculturated, acclimatized to you. Now they are, what do they call them when animals become, they are, no, not tame, there's another. Civilized? No. Domesticated. Who said that? Yes, mashallah. Domesticated. Right? So now they know you. You cut all of them, and it is mentioned that there were four. You cut all of them and go and put all of them, and then, oh Ibrahim, I want you to call them. يَأْتِينَكَ سَعْيَا, they all are going to come running back to you. Into one piece, back alive. And this is the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why in the case of Isa alayhi salam, he used to make those dummies. He would make a bird, فَأَنْفُخُ فِيهِ, he would blow into that. Then what would happen? It would become طَيْرًا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ, it would become a bird by the idhn of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah had given Isa alayhi salam the power. He was not the source of haya, but the power was through him that he was able to do that. And this is the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So over here, Ibrahim alayhi salam questions, and we all can question. There are two things that we need to worry about when we question. Number one is you can question about anything and everything in Islam and there's an answer for it. But your intentions have to be right. Your intentions have to be right. Because if you ask with the right intention, you shall find. But if you ask with the intention of contempt, you have already made the decision that this is wrong. I'm just going to ask the question so my state or my position that I have taken, I just want to affirm that with this question. Then in that case, you shall not find guidance. Sadly, most of the people, the younger generation, when they question, they come with contempt towards Allah. They come towards contempt towards Sharia. How can Sharia, it starts off like that. How can Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, subhanAllah, the adab. So it's the adab that matters. Nobody's ever going to tell you, don't ask. In our last session, two sessions ago, somebody sent me a question. But in a very, 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 very utmost respectful manner. And they said, I believe in Allah, I believe in the resurrection, I believe in all of these things. I just cannot reconcile the fact between why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to judge us for 60, 70 years. And if we fail in that judgment of a test of 60 years, Allah would punish us for eternity. Beautiful question. Right? And there's an answer for that. This is not the spot for the answer. There's an answer for that. And I had a conversation with that sister and I gave the answer. Then the next part. So this was a scene that happens. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says in the end, wa'lam, know, Ibrahim alayhi salam, أَنَّ اللَّهَ عَزِيزٌ حَكِيمٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is aziz. Now, the word aziz, what do we translate it as usually? Might. Okay? Aziz, might. But actually, the word aziz is that it's a might of a nature that no one else can overpower. Hence, you become also aziz, i.e., respect, like you gain respect because of this might that you have. And not only that Allah has absolute might, but he's also Hakim, he is wise. So this was another scene that happens. Then Ibrahim alayhi salam goes back to Ishaq and Sarah, and then he comes back. And the famous story of him coming back, he misses Ismail alayhi salam on this trip. He misses Ismail alayhi salam. Ismail alayhi salam comes home. He can smell that his father had been here. Right? And the Anbiya, they said, the scholars, they said, the reason he was able to smell is because Anbiya alayhim salam have a special scent. As was the case with our Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. It is mentioned that he would walk in the streets and you could smell, if he had walked on that street in Fajr, you could smell it at Isha that Rasulullah had walked the street. Subhanallah. Right? And as was the case for all of the Anbiya, because they are the pinnacle of beauty and everything of their time. So he could smell and he says, did someone come? He said, yes, there was an old man that came. Zarana Shaykhan. ماذا قال? What did he say? غير عتبة بابك. Change the wood panel of your door. As soon as he heard, he recognized that this was my father, Ibrahim alayhi salam, and he says, you're divorced. She's like, what? How is that? He said, أَنَّهُ Ibrahim. This was Ibrahim alayhi salam that came, and he asked me to change you, to divorce. So he divorced her and he married somebody else. Then Ibrahim alayhi salam comes, and this time he wants to hold on. He wants to meet Ismail. But Ismail alayhi salam is gone again. So he stays back. And this time he says, if you meet him tonight, tell him, ثَبِّتْ عَتَبَةَ بَابِكَ. Make sure you don't change the foot panel of your door. Keep it as is. Then Ibrahim alayhi salam, he comes. And this is a very interesting thing. He comes to Ismail alayhi salam, and it is mentioned, Ya Ismail. This is in Bukhari. Yeah, this is in Bukhari. And Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he says, Ya Ismail, Inna Allah amarani bi amran. Can you imagine the shock of this son? The last time my father came to me and asked me that Allah commanded me for something, he slaughtered me almost. Right? Can you imagine the shock of this son? It's like, oh wow, you come back to me after 20 years and now you're telling me. Imagine if it was one of us, we'd be like, man, after 20 years, the only thing you can think of is the command of Allah. And now what are you going to do next? You're going to do something else with me? Subhanallah. Like, imagine what is going through his mind. So, but this tells you his submission, because he was a Nabi. He says, Ya Ismail, Inna Allah amarani bi amrin. Allah has commanded me, and I have a command from Allah. Qala Ismail, fasna' ma amaraka rabbuk. Do what your Rabb has commanded you, O my father. Qala wa tu'inuni. Are you going to help me in that command? Qala wa a'inuk. I will definitely help you. Qala fa inna Allah amarani an abniya hahuna bayta. Allah commanded me to build a house right here. At this spot, Allah has commanded me to make a house. So he says, وَأَشَارَ إِلَىٰ أَكُمَّةٍ مُرْتَفَعَ. There was like a dust pile that was raised. There was no special markers. It was just imagine like a hill of dust that was akumma murtafi'a. It was like there, and he says, that spot that you see, that's where I'm going to build Kaaba. مُرْتَفِعَ عَلَىٰ حَوْلِهَا. قال فعند ذلك رفع القواعد من البيت فجعل إسماعيل يأتي الحجر وإبراهيم يبنيها. And the entire story, the hadith, we'll read about that. So Ibrahim alayhi salam was commanded for that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about this in the Quran. بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وإذ يرفع إبراهيم القواعد من البيت وإسماعيل ربنا تقبل منا. Ibrahim alayhi salam, he began the process of making the Kaaba. Ismail alayhi salam would bring the labina. Labina is basically something that is makhloot. If you're from Riyadh, you know what I'm talking about. It's still used. You can sometimes drive on highways and you will see the Arabs still forming labinat because it has some special characteristics of being cold in the summer and hot in the winter. It provides, and it's natural. And it's mixed with some straw and some, you know, in Urdu we say hasir. You know the darya that we have, we pray on hasir? They use that straw of the palm trees and they mix it with soil and red clay and stuff, and they dry it in the sand. So those are labina. So that's what the initial Kaaba was formed from. Ibrahim alayhi salam, he had this, you know, he had this mountain he would go up on. And he would try to sometimes, you know, when we're building something, you want to move back if you're putting a frame. You're like, okay, let me move back and see if the frame is like tilted and stuff. So that's what he would do. He would move back. Jibreel alayhi salam saw that and he says, this is getting tiring for Ibrahim. So he said, he brought a stone. And by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that stone would move. That stone would move kind of like a jacklift for Ibrahim alayhi salam back then. The mu'jiza that the ulama said is, when was the last time you saw a stone, if you stood on, that your feet would sink in a stone? If you ever go to Hajar Aswad, if you go to Maqam Ibrahim, the footmarks of Ibrahim are embedded into that stone. And this was for two reasons. One was the mu'jiza, second was, if you're climbing high, you need some stability on. So he would stand on it and it would sink in. So he could have firm grip and he would not fall off. This is something we don't think of every time we see Maqam Ibrahim. Think about it next time you see it. It's like caved in. It's not, you know, carved in. It was caved in by naturally. So Ibrahim alayhi salam used that stone and he built the Kaaba. Now a little bit of a history of Kaaba. A lot of people, you know, May or may not know. Actually, you know what? Let's do it as a trivia. That'll be a better idea. So, who was the first one to build the Kaaba? Huh? Malaika. On the qawl of Malaika, there is ikhtilaf. But yes, the if you go and read in the books, yeah. So, the sequence that I'm going to present first, that sequence, there is no khilaf. Okay? Consensus. Ibrahim alayhi salam, Quraysh, Abdullah ibn Zubair, Hajjaj ibn Yusuf, and then after that, the contemporary history, and we have all of that history. These, there's no ikhtilaf on. Now, the matters that have, i.e. aqwal on, for example, you'll see Shinqiti saying one thing, Ibn Kathir saying one thing, Qurtubi saying one thing. In total, I will culminate everything so we can understand. So the first binya was made by malaika or angels. Then after angels, this was qabl al-Adam. This was before Adam alayhi salam. Then Adam alayhi salam was the one who built it again. Then after Adam, who? Guess. You know, it's a trivia. You guys guess. Sheith ibn Adam. Okay? Sheith ibn Adam. Okay? Then, afterwards, the flood came. Past the flood, one of the sons, again, there's lots of names mentioned about that. What it was Amalika or different names. One of the sons of Adam. Then it was, Nuh alayhi salam. Then it was Ibrahim alayhi salam. And then after Ibrahim alayhi salam, it is mentioned that it was Quraysh. From Quraysh, it is also mentioned that before Quraysh, Qusay ibn Kilab was the one who also built it. There's a qawl that you find about that. And then also it is mentioned that Abdul Muttalib also was involved with Qusay in that preparation. The grandfather of Rasulullah in that building. So that's the total times the Kaaba was built. After Ibrahim alayhi salam has done building the Kaaba, what's the first thing he asks? Rabbana taqabbal minna. And this is the state of a believer. We never ever think, mashallah, mashallah. I prayed Fajr today in the masjid. Allahu Akbar. Mashallah. Both of you. Zabardast. I read some Quran after that too. And the next thing you do is you put it on your story on Instagram. Right? Morning vibes in the mosque. Something like that. Hashtag peaceful. Like you do something, all of that. Subhanallah. Their number one concern of the Anbiya, alayhim as-salam, the prophets was, oh Allah, I mean, he has just been asked by Allah to build the Kaaba. It's not that randomly he just woke up one day and said, I'll just make the Kaaba. Allah is like, go and build the Kaaba. Now he builds the Kaaba. The first concern he has, oh Allah, accept this from me. Rabbana taqabbal minna. Both the father and son are making the dua. Innaka anta as-sami'ul 'alim. I mean, this dua of ours, you are the one who is worthy of accepting that. And such is the state of a Muslim that after every good deed or good thing that you do, you never are haughty, you never boast about it. You feel humbled. And you ask Allah, oh Allah, this was a little effort that I put for your sake. And we ask Allah that Allah accepts it from us. Then Ibrahim alayhi salam and all of the du'as that you find, there is no Nabi that you're going to find that Allah has encapsulated more of his du'as than Ibrahim alayhi salam in the entire Quran. As a matter of fact, people have written book on the fawaid of the du'as of Ibrahim alayhi salam. What did he teach us through the du'a? I mean, imagine like, nobody's going to learn anything from our du'as. Like seriously, it's not going to be encapsulated for anything. But Ibrahim alayhi salam's du'a are moments of learning for every community. And if you were to take all the du'as, I think around 48 or 49 of them, they will be categorized because we don't have time to go all of them. You would be able to generally categorize them in three categories. They will fall under three primary categories. The first one, I don't have names for these categories. These are the types of dua, so you'll get the sense of it. One of them is Rabbana taqabbal minna. It's this humbleness of Ibrahim alayhi salam in front of Allah and his feeling that he is not enough and he's asking Allah to fulfill everything that he has done. Rabbana taqabbal minna. Innaka anta samiul alim. This is the first type of dua that you're going to get, and variety of these that exist. Naw'a thani, he's concerned about being a Muslim. And he's concerned about his generation being a Muslim. What's a dua? Rabbana waj'alna muslimayni laka wa min dhurriyatina. He's not just, oh Allah, make both of us Muslims for you. And wa min dhurriyatina. If he had said, wa min abna'ina, it would have meant that just the two children and their immediate generation. But when Ibrahim alayhi salam used the word dhurriyatina, this means after me until qiyamah, whoever comes make them Muslim. So his concern is that when I leave this world, oh Allah, we want to make sure that, you know, our children are Muslim. I was listening to, when I was in the ISNA convention, I was sitting with Sheikh Abdullah Idris and we were having conversation and somebody came And he, again, this is interesting because you get to learn from these legends. And I'm just sitting there. Nobody knows me. He's sitting there. The person comes and asks him, "Oh, Sheikh, I have this question. I have 5 children. 2 of them have left Islam. I have 3 more left. One of them is 19. One of them is 16. And one of them is 11. What do I do?" So he says, at what percentage are you in terms of guaranteeing that you'll be able to keep them a Muslim?" And he said, "At this, currently with my job and divorce and everything, I don't think there's a very high percentage." He said, "Then at this point, it is wajib for you to pick up your kids and leave. Save the other 3. You have to leave if you cannot guarantee their iman. At any point you feel that the next generation, they are on their path of losing their faith, it becomes wajib for the saving of..." Because on the day of judgment, first excuse, "Allah, I could not, I had job, this. Allah is going to say that the earth of Allah was wasi'a. فَتُهَاجِرُوا فِيهَا. Why did you not move? You might have to change a state. You might have to change a lit city. You might have to go into a smaller city. I mean, you look at the best possible options to save your kids. But if you cannot guarantee that your next generation, with the current indications that you see, that they're going to be on Islam, then you have a serious problem.